Welcome back to the Mike Shamiri Show. My guest today will be appearing at the Monterey Jazz Festival in Monterey, California on Sunday, September 18th. Please welcome guitarist Lee Ritenour.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Well, let's start in the beginning. How did you first get into music?
That was a long time ago. I started playing the guitar when I was 8 years old, and I'm still doing it today.
Okay, well, how did you get the nickname Captain Fingers?
Well, back in the early 70s, when I got my first record contract, I was, I believe I was 23 when I started my first deal at Epic that time. Mm-hmm. And my second album was called Captain Fingers, and prior to that, my friends would, I still, a lot of people consider that I have a lot of technique. And back in those days, it was the early fusion days and a lot of fast guitar playing and such. And so I had a lot of technique and flash. And a lot of my sort of friends kind of jokingly say, hey, how's Captain Fingers today? You know? So I wrote a tune called that. And then I ended up titling it the album. And it just stuck ever since. That was in 77. And my production company is called Captain Fingers Productions, and you know, so it's just been kind of a moniker that's hung in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been influenced by Brazilian music, according to your website, which might explain songs like Sugarloaf Express and Bahia Funk. How did this influence start?
Well, again, it goes all the way back to the teenage days of the when I was studying guitar in Los Angeles. I literally did not have any barriers about music. I literally loved especially anyone that could play the guitar well. And the first, I'm not sure if it was the first Brazilian wave, technically it was the second, but it was the biggest one that had hit this country in the late 60s when Stan Getz and Antonio Scala Jobim and João Gilberto and Astor Gilberto released The Girl from Ipanema, and, those cuts, One Note Samba, and all those commercial songs that were so popular in the late 60s. So each one of them was accompanied by this beautiful acoustic guitar playing of João Gilberto. So I got interested from that angle initially, but very drawn to the melodies and to the Portuguese lyrics and such. And I ended up making a personal trip with a friend down to Brazil when I was 20. Met a lot of musicians down there at that time. Later, actually on that trip, met a guitarist named Oscar Castroneves, who was playing with Sergio Mendes and with Antonio Carlos Jobim. So I was able to meet both of them and ended up working with both of them. So it was quite an influence, and it stuck with me ever since. My son is half Brazilian, and I've done several Brazilian-oriented albums. As a matter of fact, since we're on the question, late this summer, early fall, a best-of album will be released on me. There's been quite a bit of product on me this year, but this is a collection or a best-of that's coming out, but it's called The World of Brazil, and it will feature tracks from all my Brazilian collaborations over the course of time, which is a real nice collection.
Yes, I heard about that. I'm looking forward to it. And today is September 7th, so it's probably already out.
I think just out, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. I think it came out August 30th.
That's if we can trust the record companies.
Yes. All right. We're talking with Lee Ritenour here on the Mike Shamiri Show on Web Radio WCWP. Tell us about your friendship with Dave Grusin.
Well, that emerged around the same time as Antonio Carlos Jobim. As a matter of fact, the first time I saw Dave perform in clubs around L.A. as a teenager, and I knew about him because he was working on so many albums that I was fans of, but I never really formally met him until I went to a party at Sergio Mendes's house, and at that party was Antonio Carlos Jobim, the great Brazilian composer, and Dave Grusin, a number of musicians, and there was a jam session. That was really the first time I met Dave. Then I was playing with a small group at a jazz club on Monday nights, and drummer Harvey Mason joined me, and he was just starting out his career, and he knew Dave better than me, and he said, oh, we can ask Dave to play with us. And I said, nah, we'll never get him, you know. But he asked him, and he started to join us, and then Dave started to use me on his movie sessions, and really that's probably the main reason I got started so deeply into studio work at such a young age, because by the time I was 21, I was recording and doing sessions in L.A., you know, 2-3 times a day, 5 days a week, sometimes more. And so it had a lot to do with Dave, because he was so well respected in town as a movie and TV and jazz musician and just all-around great musician. And that friendship has endured today. He's my closest friend.
Mm. Well, you mentioned Harvey Mason. You and him and Bob James and Nathan East, in the early 90s, you teamed up to create 4Play. Tell us about your days with 4Play.
Yeah, that was the original 4Play band. I did the first three albums, and as a lot of fans sort of believe still today, those are the three best albums. Especially the first album is very special.
Mm-hmm.
That union happened quite almost by accident. I had worked a little bit with Bob James. Harvey had worked a lot with Bob, and Nathan never had. Harvey put together a rhythm section for Bob in L.A. for one of his records he was doing, and he suggested Nathan and I. So we all got together on a session, and it was such a chemistry, such a magic. Bob said, you know, I got a little deal over at Warner Brothers here that I think I could put a group project together, kind of a one-off. And you think we could work it out? And I was on Universal GRP at the time, and sort of in between contracts, so I was able to work it out. And hence we came together, and the first album just exploded. I think it's a million seller now. And it was a very natural collaboration. Certain bands, when you get together, just have a chemistry. And that one has always had a magical chemistry, especially the four of us. Unfortunately, I had to stop doing the group in the, I forget exactly what year, the middle 90s, because it was a big contract complication with, another deal I had with a record label situation through Polygram. And so I had to take a pass at that point, but the original chemistry was just incredible.
Yes, and Larry Carlton ended up taking over, and
and a fine guitarist who also grew up in L.A. and grew up minutes from me, and of course some people have compared our styles, but in a lot of ways we're very different, and the group has gone on to do well, with him as well, but the original chemistry was hard to beat.
I can imagine. Well, we mentioned Larry Carlton. What was it like working with Larry on the Larry and Lee album?
Well, it's a funny story in a way, because Larry's about 4 or 5 years older than me, and we were always kind of competitors, because we had sort of the same trajectories in a way in L.A. We both grew up, and I don't know, he was maybe always looking over his shoulder a little bit at me, because I was the young punk coming up, and he had a studio career as well. He had a solo career. He had a group career, and so it was. You know, when you're young, you're very competitive. We look back on it now, and it's kind of laughable. But the record company we were finally with at the same time, GRP, in '95, suggested we do a project together, and he took a minute to warm up to it, but finally did, and we had a great time doing it. And it was a good evolution for us, and still a lot of fans come up to me, and I wish that we do another project someday, which who knows, maybe we will.
Yeah, that'd be nice. There's some great songs on that album.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, we're talking with Lee Ritenour here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. Tell us about the Twist of albums for GRP.
Yeah, well, that's another large project. There's three of those as well. I go in threes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... The first one was the Twist of Chopin, going back to the Brazilian music. The second one was Twist of Marley, the great music of Bob Marley. And finally, the Twist of Motown, the Motown catalog. Each album had about some 20 guest artists, including the sort of all-star musicians. So really a large production when you count that, you know, maybe the 60 artists were involved in those, around 60 people spread out amongst the three albums. And but they're really a labor of love, because it was so fun for me to have a catalog to work with, like Chopin or Marley, and then pepper it with the great jazz and R&B and pop type musicians. And it was really about arranging and orchestrating and producing at that point. And of course, I featured my guitar on all three albums as well, but they're not really just Lee Ritenour records. They're really all-star, various artists-type projects, but with sort of my sound and my conception from beginning to end. So it's not like one artist said, oh, I want to try this, and another artist went, oh, I want to try this completely different. I really sort of pulled every song together on each album and kind of hand-picked who I wanted on each song and guided it from a very musical arranging orchestration type point of view.
Okay. Well, tell us about your latest album, and I think it's your first album on Peak, Overtime.
Yeah, Peak and I got together with our company, IE Music, which was, again, a small division off of Polygram back in those days. And now Peak with the parent company is Concord for both of us, and so we've kind of joined forces together, and it's a nice union. The Overtime CD and DVD was a very big project that I did last year, came out this year, and it started out as a DVD project for a Japanese company, and really it was a kind of a look forward and a look back, a retrospective in some senses. It took my music from the 70s all the way to some new music and new players into this century, and it featured really four divisions of music: some straight-ahead jazz, some Brazilian jazz, some the early fusion stuff with Captain Fingers and some of those songs,
right.
And then finally the more funk and contemporary stuff. And it was all shot in a studio in Los Angeles, in high definition, and a complete six-camera shoot. And it had a small audience peppered around us, but we were in a recording studio, so we were able to get the sound of a record and the crystal picture through the high definition and a six-camera shoot that the director was really shooting the interplay of the musicians amongst one another. The audience was a factor because it kept it kind of live and kept us motivated, but the motivation was sort of a very unplugged, MTV-ish, unplugged kind of environment where we're almost playing in a living room type setting, and in a circle playing to one another and reacting to each other. And a lot of those people were my old friends and music mafia from the 70s through the current days. And, you know, it features Dave Grusin, of course, and Yvonne Linz from Brazil, Chris Bode, Eric Marienthal, Harvey Mason, Patrice Rushen, Ernie Watts, Alex Acuna, Anthony Jackson, just a slew of great players. And it was a very big project to put together. It's a two DVD set with 19 songs. And then the CD is also special because that's just the audio, but there's a couple of extra cuts on it that are not on the DVD, and we were able to bring that down to one CD, even though it's chock full of music. It's 73 minutes long as well.
And it's a lot of fun, and they're both great, especially the DVD.
Yeah, it's a terrific project called Overtime, and at the Monterey Jazz Festival we'll be featuring a lot of music with a lot of those players from that project.
All right, sounds good. We look I look forward to it, even though I'm all the way in New York. Well, we're talking with Lee Ritenour here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. What are your fans like?
Pardon?
What are your fans like?
Oh, you know, I just this last summer here, I just got done doing a six-week tour that included Korea, Japan, and a lot of Western Europe. We did the jazz festivals in Europe and concerts in a few clubs, and then South Africa, and it was just an amazing summer because I got to go to so many great places, and the fans are just so consistent. A lot of them have been with me since I was in my 20s, and now I'm, you know, 50, and they've been there ever since, and they're just diehard music fans and great sophisticated fans. You know, they understand the music, and they're real true music fans. It's great.
Okay. Well, one final question. We did have another question, but you have a very busy schedule, so we're going to let you go. What particular memory do you have from touring?
Well, first of all, it's great for a musician to tour because your chops get way up. You know, you can't practice in the bedroom like that. You know, it's only playing live is the wonderful thing, and just sort of the the intensity of the fans when they are really your true fans, and the musicians are really hitting a harmony on stage and doing their best, and the sound is great and the audience is great. It's a wonderful energy that it keeps you young. You know, it really that's the greatest thing of being a musician, I think, is that energy on stage when everything is right. It doesn't happen every night, and there's all the traveling and the sound checks and the rehearsing and the practicing and the expense and competition of being a musician, and there's a lot of junk too to being a professional musician, and the music business is tough, but the payoff is with the show and that live audience when everyone's clicking on the same cylinders.
Well, Lee, thanks a lot for doing this interview.
All right, Mike.
All right, take care. This has been Lee Ritenour here on the Mike Shamari Show, and we'll be right back with a song by Lee.
All right, thanks so much.